Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at the summary of all that we know based upon this great epistle of 1 John. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 again together. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now we're right in the middle of studying how that in these three verses the Apostle John is giving us a summary of all that he's taught throughout this great epistle. And he begins each of these three verses with the phrase, "We know." In these three verses, John wants us to know three things. That the person who has genuinely been born of God does not dwell continually in sin. Number two, that those who are saved are truly born of God. And number three, that the Son of God has come and given us the knowledge of the one true living God. And on the last broadcast, we were looking at the second truth that John says we should know, and I want to continue that today. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Again together, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, we've been discussing just what John meant when he said that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So we're examining what is probably the most common and yet the most unknown sin that exists in our lives today, and that is the sin of worldliness. Worldliness is when the love and affection and devotion of our hearts that should only belong to God is stolen from God and placed on something that is temporary and that is passing away. Worldliness is more common today than it has ever been. It is more easily engaged in by believers, and due to the fact that there's such bad teaching out there, in many areas the sin of worldliness is actually being promoted as being a virtue, even a blessing from God. But please listen to what God said about this evil sin by reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, there are several signs that warn us that we have crossed the line into worldliness. Those signs include always being too busy to study the Bible or to pray for any meaningful length of time, loving money, engaging in covetousness, and believing that more of this world's goods is always a sign of God's favor without a corresponding growth in holiness. And we can measure the degree to which worldliness has overtaken us by honestly examining what we love, what we spend time with. Because the Bible teaches from cover to cover that the human soul cannot love God and the world at the same time. It will always choose one over the other because God consciously made the soul to exclusively love, worship, and serve only one object at a time. And any attempt by anyone at loving two things, worshiping two different things, or serving two different things at the same time will always result in a schizophrenic life, a diseased life, a fruitless life, a wasted life. So we have to choose. We must decide. We must consciously abandon one love for the other. Either you must abandon the world and love God, or you must abandon God and love the world. But please understand, you cannot love both. And please keep in mind, dear friends, that worldliness may not be that long list of blatant sins that you're no longer troubled by. Worldliness may actually be much more subtle. It may even look more pretty or more acceptable. We give ourselves with abandon over to our worldly pleasures as though we will die tomorrow, while we build houses and accumulate things as though we will live forever. We're terribly inconsistent. The Puritans of the 17th century were very great about meditating about things like worldliness. And while I struggle just to preach this one sermon on worldliness, Jeremiah Burroughs, a great Puritan preacher, wrote a deep and wonderful book about this very issue called A Treatise on Earthly Mindedness. And I encourage you to get this book. Written almost 400 years ago, this book spans 260 pages about how that a man's life is the real measurement of what he believes, not his possessions or his accomplishments. So how do we combat these other loves? Well, Burroughs said that we as Christians have to become aware of our own thoughts. Burroughs wrote that we should pursue humility over our own sins, befriend godly people, help yourself to understand God's will by becoming familiar with God's word. Constantly remind yourself that you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Pray without ceasing. Be very quick to repent. And ask God for the blessing to be able to see your own heart in the same way that God sees it. As Burroughs suggested, every morning we should read Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. And that passage says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, one of my heroes is the English theologian by the name of Ian Murray. And Brother Murray is the editor of the Banner of Truth Trust for many years, and he's written many important books, among which is a plea for the modern church to recapture the historic biblical truths concerning the doctrines of grace. And Brother Murray said this about worldliness, quote, worldliness is departing from God. It is a man-centered way of thinking. It proposes objectives which demand no radical breach from man's fallen nature. It judges the importance of things by the present and material results. It weighs success by numbers. It covets human esteem. It wants no unpopularity. It knows no truth for which it is worth suffering. It declines to be a fool for Christ's sake. Worldliness is the mindset of the unregenerate. It adopts idols. It is at war with God. Unquote. My friends, we are not called to have the love of the world. We are called to know and possess the love of God. This same John writes a little later in 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The kind of love that we are supposed to have comes only from God. You can't work this up yourself. You can't take the two sticks of your own righteousness and your own willpower and rub them together and produce this kind of love for the Father. No, no. This kind of love is a gift from God. I've said this many times on these broadcasts. Our love for God is a gift from God. And we have to realize, dear friends, that we cannot give people a love for God. Only God can give them a love for himself. We cannot bring Christ down from heaven. We cannot put Christ in a single human heart. We can share the gospel, and we can labor, and we should. But ultimately, this love for God is a gift from God. And when Christ does come into a human heart, when Christ does give to you a love for himself, it is a thing of great beauty. And this means that if we are going to be successful in defeating worldliness in our own lives, we're going to have to first acknowledge that worldliness is a sin. And then secondly, we're going to have to confess that we're troubled by it. And then thirdly, we're going to have to pray for strength to overcome it. And this is a work of God's Spirit. If you already love God, pray for more love. And pray for others to come to love God also. So a lot about this is trust. In Matthew 16, for example, Jesus said, I will build my church. So the head of the church will succeed in building his church with men and women and children, just like you, who are the object of Christ's love and who have been given the ability to no longer love the world, but to love the Father. John says that any love for the world proves that there is an absence of love for the Father. And then John said that everything that is of the world is temporary. And then John teaches that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That in fact, it is at this very moment, the world is passing away right now. So John told his first century audience that no matter how attached they might have been to their goods and their possessions and their dreams and their desires and their boasting, John reminded them here that the earth is the Lord's, not ours, and that they would one day lose everything that is not eternal. John said everything that they craved and sought after was at that very moment passing away and would eventually all pass away. The correct Greek language in 1 John 2:17 is, the world is passing away and its desires. And this is a huge statement which should dictate our affections and loves today. Why in the world would anybody who could think put their love and devotion and allegiance into something that is at this present moment passing away and will eventually all pass away? Remember, this verse does not say that one day it shall pass away, but that it is at this present moment in the process of passing away right now. The Bible tells us that the day is coming when the world itself, with all of its affections, all of its loves, all of its lusts, all of its desires, which are in direct competition with the love of the Father, is going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to come of naught. But the same Bible which promises that also promises that he who does the will of God, he which loves God with all of his heart, he who denies his flesh and loves God and was not divided in his loves and devotion and affections will abide forever with God in heaven forever. So I suppose it would be a good time about right now to ask some very important questions. Do you know what worldliness is? Do you recognize it in your own life? Do you understand how evil and how destructive this sin is? Do you love the world? Has the world robbed God of your love? Have you taken your love that is only rightfully God's and given it to something less valuable, less important than God? Are you too busy pursuing after things that are at this very moment passing away to spend time with those things that are eternal? Do you love money? Do you trust more in what money can do for you than what God can do for you? Do you fear losing some of this world's goods more than you fear sin? Have you crossed the line from having your needs met and are engaging in covetousness? Now keep in mind as you answer these questions that John said that if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means that you're not saved. So whatever happened to worldliness? Did we all just overcome it, or did it overcome us? Unfortunately, worldliness is alive and well, dear friends, but I pray that it is not in your heart today. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.